Hi folks, welcome to the Money 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 podcast. I'm Surabhi Upadhyay and we come to you every week with some very interesting conversations to help you get your personal finances in order and get smart with your money. Finances are important at every stage of life and perhaps they become most important when we hit retirement. Maintaining the quality of life is possible if you have planned well in advance and also if you are smart and prudent with your money once you turn 60. This week on the show, personal finance expert Amit Kukreja joins me to talk about how senior citizens can ensure they live well and remain financially independent in their post-work years. Amit, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Great to have you on Money, Money, Money. So this is a topic that we do revisit time and again because it's extremely important to start planning early. But right now, for the sake of this conversation, this show is aimed at people who are just about to retire, 58, 59, or maybe they've just hit 60, and the options before them. So I want to start with sort of the broad overarching view on, you know, what do you tell this age group? What are the sort of the emotional things also they need to keep in mind as they're taking charge of their money?
Yeah, I think the first thing they have to ensure is their health insurance is in place. Most of the senior citizens, because of diabetes or blood pressure or some other illnesses, are not able to get the health insurance. So the sooner they start planning for it, let's say by 55, 54, you should make sure that you have a health insurance started on your framework. And then by the time you reach 60, all your waiting periods have elapsed and you are on the plan for life. So if you haven't, if you missed the boat, then even if it is expensive, get started because it'll be worth your money. Average age has gone up to 80, 85, and it's better to have a good health cover for the rest of your life. If you cannot for any reason, maintain a medical contingency fund of 10 lakh rupees for a metropolitan city.
Yeah, I know the way healthcare costs have shot up. But just some more points on insurance itself. You mentioned waiting periods, and this is my understanding that in a lot of policies for senior citizens, first of all, the products aren't very flexible. They come with a lot of conditions and fine print. And one of them would be these long waiting periods. What are the fine prints that we should be aware of if someone's buying a policy for a senior citizen?
I think... First of all, the person should disclose every medical problem that he has. There's no point hiding any of these problems from the insurance provider.
But then do you even get a policy? Because, I mean, there are chances that there is diabetes, you know, history of hypertension, etc.
But you also need to understand that you need to cover for illnesses which are not the consequence of the illness that you have already. So, for example, if somebody is diabetic, and I don't think so, if the person ends up having cataract, his cataract surgery will be denied. So it's a very touchy topic and you need a delicate balance, but I would always go for, even if the insurance cover is for lesser amount because of your pre-existing illnesses, you should go ensure get one for yourself and your spouse.
So the fine prints, coming back to the question, what are the typical fine prints that you find in these policies that we might overlook and then end up getting disappointed later?
Waiting period, exclusions, make sure you go through the exclusions. A lot of times you don't get covered for medical issues arising due to mental health. A lot of times you don't get covered medical conditions which are arising out of diabetes. So as long as you're on top of the exclusions, as long as you're on top of the waiting periods, and besides the health cover, you can also explore the super top-up plans that actually gives you a cover with a minimal the minimal base which is covered by the other insurance. So as long as you have the health cover through super top-up as well, it should be safe enough. It should be good enough to protect you from the medical exigencies.
What would be the typical waiting period in a policy for senior citizens?
I think 3 years.
At least 3 years.
Yeah.
It could go up to that. Also, another question here. As a child, I mean, I can take insurance cover for my senior citizen parents. I also get a tax deduction on that. And of course, a senior citizen himself or herself can take the policy. Which one is better? Which perhaps is more prudent?
So, good point. So you, if you are employed with an organization, if you take health cover for your parents, you are likely to get a better cover because it's a group plan for your employees. And because there is a big corporate insurance product sold to the company, they are likely to process your parents' claim faster than their individual policies. So always ensure, I tell all these youngsters to ensure that your parents are covered through your group plan. Always explore that first whenever you're making a claim.
Make that added premium payment and get your parents insured as well.
And if you are not able to get that for some reason, then you can always rely on your parents' health insurance covers. But try to see if all the claims are processed through your own company insurances that you've taken for your parents. And you get tax deduction for both the insurance premiums that you pay for yourself as well as for your parents under Section 80D.
Okay, fair enough. I think we've spent adequate time to really drive home the point that insurance, health insurance, is of utmost importance, specifically for those who are entering their silver years. So now let's make it simple. Now, someone who's retiring at 60 is obviously going to retire with a decent corpus. So gratuity will come through, your PF money will come through. Now, the question is, first of all, how do you deal with this money? What do you do with it? I'm guessing it's no longer prudent just to park it in a fixed deposit, because that will not cover you for the next 20 years if you are expecting to live till 80.
Yeah. Yeah. So the simple financial planning calculation that I've done for a senior citizen family who needs 9 lakh rupees per annum, they need a corpus of 1 crore 75 lakhs to sustain their living standard for 25 years.
Okay, wait, let's repeat the numbers again.
Sure.
This is a model that you've drawn up for us.
Yeah.
Someone retiring at 60 with an annual outflow requirement of 9 lakh rupees a year. So that's 75,000
a month.
75,000 a month in today's prices.
Right.
Will need to retire with a corpus of how much again?
1 crore 75 lakhs, assuming an inflation of 5%.
So you've built in 5% inflation into the projections.
That's correct.
1.75, if I retire with this money, I can at least sustain 75,000 rupees a month up till age 85.
That's correct.
Okay, that's still sounding something that, you know, I think one can start aspiring towards, aspire towards building that corpus.
Yes.
So let's assume someone has this kind of money. Then how do you start dividing it between equity, debt, fixed deposits, traditional investments? How do you do the mix?
See, the first thing we need to do is we need to fill the individual's portfolio with most secure products which have a good rate of return. For example, Senior Citizen Savings Scheme, LIC Vay Vandan Yojana. Both of them have 8.7% and 8.3% respectively. They have a lock-in of 5 years and 10 years, but that's okay. I mean, I need regularity of income and I need high ROI from these secure products. So I would first fill the portfolio with these secure products.
So the Vay Vandana Yojana, if my memory serves me correct, the monthly payout was, I think, a very small amount. Does it still sort of make sense?
It depends. It depends whether you are taking an annual payout or a monthly payout. If you take annual, it comes out to be 8.3%. If you take monthly, it comes out to be 8%.
Okay. Okay.
So
but the compounding is pretty significant. You're saying it's worth looking at the scheme.
It's a payout option. Your principal will be returned at the end of the 10th year, but money will be received on a monthly or a quarterly basis, the option that you choose.
Okay.
Similarly, Senior Citizens Savings Scheme, quarterly payout, your principal will be returned at the end of the 5th year, or you renew it for 3 years. It has plus three extensibility aspect.
Okay.
Once you have filled your portfolio with these secure products, now I would say put your 6 years cash flow into debt funds. Don't start withdrawing it unless you're falling short. But if you can open the accounts of Senior Citizen and LIC Vay Vandan Yojana in your name as well as in your spouse's name, assuming that both of you have accumulated some money, so fill your products, 4 accounts with these products.
And how much would you park in these schemes?
Good one. So there's a limitation of 15 lakhs. So you can't put more than 15 in SCSS and you can't put more than 15 in LIC BVY.
Okay.
So once you've parked your 30 lakhs or 60 lakhs, then you put your 6 years of expenses into debt funds.
Okay.
Anything that you need beyond 6 years should go into equity funds. And this equity should not be a multi-cap or a mid-cap fund. Let it be a large cap or an index or even a balanced fund, which has equity exposure to it. I think equity will come in the end, but you need to first secure yourself for 7 years of cash flow with these products and debt funds.
Okay, so I'm going to go a little deeper into debt because what the last 1 year taught us was that debt funds might not be entirely risk-free. I mean, they're not as simple as a fixed deposit. There will be variations in the returns that you'll see over periods of time.
Yeah.
So then how should a senior citizen approach debt funds?
So for senior citizens, my advice is do not go for fancy debt funds like dynamic bond funds or gilt funds or long-term funds. Stick with simple short-term debt funds, ultra-short-term debt funds, or even low-duration debt funds for that matter. I think these funds, even though they have shown the signs of volatility, but they have beaten the returns of fixed deposit by at least 0.5% in the history of last 5 years.
And if you remain invested for 3 years, then you get the added tax advantage.
Absolutely. You get indexation advantage, which makes taxability at 5% or 7% on the accumulated corpus. So whatever you can defer in terms of withdrawal to beyond 3 years, that'll be fantastic. Then you start withdrawing tax deferred money, and it'll be very, very less tax. So if you can stagger your portfolio and fill it up in layers with more secure than debt funds and then equity, I think you're going to have a very good inflation beating portfolio.
Okay, so these are the fixed income options, the debt fund options. Do fixed deposits and liquidity also have a place in this? I mean, how should be available in ready liquid cash or near liquid instruments?
I have normally suggested to senior citizens that if you do not have a health insurance, you can keep a medical contingency fund with yourself in a fixed deposit.
Okay.
And obviously, look at it from a taxability angle. If you guys can split your 9 lakhs across two family heads, you can put a lot of money in fixed deposit. You can put because senior citizens are getting 8% or 8.25%. That's as good as debt fund if it's tax free. So you will have to look at your taxability slab, which is very important. And FDs do fit into the picture if your taxability slab is lower.
So let's go back to the numbers. If we go back to the example of 1.75 crores of the original corpus, how much has gone into the government schemes? How much would have gone into the debt funds, and how much is left for equity then?
So you can put 30 lakhs into products like SCSs and LIC VVY or 60 lakhs if you're two earning heads.
Yes.
Then we can put about 40 odd lakhs in debt funds.
Okay.
That makes it a crore or 70 lakhs, depending upon what this what the number of tax earning heads we have.
Yes.
And anything beyond that can be equity, which can be anywhere from 30 to 40%.
Okay.
Easily.
So now that we've done the basic asset allocation mix, it comes to equities. And you mentioned that you'd still go with more of the large cap funds than dabble with mid caps, obviously. This whole active versus passive debate is gaining ground. So for senior citizens, is it more prudent to be in an index fund? What's the breakup? What are the kind of funds that you like at the moment that you think, you know, if you have some names you can share with us that would work well for this age profile?
With senior citizens, I think we need to watch out for one natural inclination they have. If they have never invested in equity markets or in mutual fund space, they will not invest the money again. So if we are recommending mutual fund exposure or equity exposure through mutual funds, very, very likely that they will not follow it unless they have tested it out themselves for two, 3 years, four years. And if they have seen a blip in those 3 years, they're not the mutual fund investors at all. So given their history, given their life experience, it's not going to be easy for somebody to start taking exposure to equity. They might choose real estate. So we need to be flexible what the end customer or end investor is sticking with, because he might like rental income. Even if it's 2%, he might like it. Even if it's taxable, he might like it, because it's at the end of the tangible asset. Now, let's say a senior citizen has chosen equity investment. I would say stick with index funds like UTI Nifty Index Fund. I would say stick with Axis Blue Chip Fund, very good large cap fund. ABSL Focused Equity Fund, very good large cap fund. Stick with HDFC and ICICI Hybrid, the equity and debt funds. These are good funds, secure, very high AUM. It's not going to be easy to lose money in these schemes.
Okay, that makes sense. But I'm going to come back to that point on real estate as well, because typically, I mean, someone who's retiring has created a physical asset. And in case it's not the same sort of residential asset where he or she is residing, the secondary asset, then what do you recommend? I mean, how does one handle it? Is rental income the way to go? Or would you sort of advise disposing it off at some level? What do you do with real estate once you're 60 and you can't manage it that well, perhaps, with the passage of time?
See, I would recommend for senior citizens that if they have children, more than one, and if they have intentions of writing a will and distributing their assets to their children, then stick with financial assets, because they are easy to segregate. If you're going with real estate, and if you have only one child, you can, I mean, you can write a will in the name of your single child that you have. But if you have multiple children, then stick with financial assets. But if you still want to stay invested in real estate, write a will, establish a portion. Look at it from a point of view that if you're not around, what's going to happen to this asset in terms of looking after it, in terms of collecting money from the tenants, in terms of liquidating the asset if needed? Can your spouse do the needful if you're not around? So overall life, you have you're beyond 60, you still have 20 years to go, but look at it from a point of view of your unavailability to execute the important paperwork, who's going to take care of it?
Okay, fair enough. I think that's an important point to keep in mind as well. Overall on real estate, what is the general advice that you give to a lot of your clients? In today's day and age, for a senior citizen, is it still a good idea to have a couple of the real estate assets just purely from a cash flow management or an investment point of view? Or do you advise converting them, if possible, to financial assets like mutual funds, like deposits?
See, it's not going to be easy to convince a senior citizen if he has already made up his mind on real estate. Mm-hmm. The only thing we can do is to nudge him that at some point in time, you should be ready to liquidate it. Mm-hmm. And if you own it, as long as you're able to manage it yourself. So buy something in the vicinity, put up a tenant who you can manage the relationship with. Yeah. So if you can manage the overall dynamics of the investment, do it. Otherwise, stay away from real estate. Mm-hmm. Definitely stay away from under construction projects, given the lot of delivery issues that we are facing. And if you are okay to keep it, then make sure you have a will written where you have identified the proportion in which the asset is going to be given away.
Absolutely. And coming down to the last thought, then any final advice that you'd want to give to all the senior citizens out there?
So I would say live your life, stay mentally engaged as much as possible. And you never know which child would need what kind of support in future. So try to keep your money in liquid assets, try to keep your money in tax efficient assets, and make sure the core portfolio is filled with the high income generating investment vehicles that you can add to your portfolio.
All right, Amit, thank you very much for your time and for all the words out there. Hopefully it's going to be of some use, some help to the viewers of Money, Money, Money. Thanks for joining us
today. Thank you for having me here.
Now, before we wind up, it's important to recap everything that we have learned. In case you're joining us late, this is the retirement special, and we are talking about certain steps that an individual needs to take as they approach the age of 60 to ensure that you have an absolutely financially independent and secure future. So, number one, all of those senior citizens who are now retirement or are of retirement age, health insurance is of utmost importance. You should have ideally bought it in your 40s or 50s. But if you haven't, then still go out there and look at the products which are available. The cost is going to be higher. The premiums will be higher. But life expectancy can be a lot longer now. We're talking 80 to 85 years of age. So it's still worthwhile to get a policy. Also, do check if you can get a super top up on your base plan, which gives you a higher coverage. Keep in mind that in case you do not have health insurance, and then as Amit pointed out, it's very important to have a liquid corpus of 10 lakh rupees. Go and put that in a fixed deposit. That is money not to be touched for anything else, but it is just to be kept aside as a medical emergency fund. Now let's move to the next steps. Looking at the example that Amit shared with us, we are looking at a corpus of 1.75 crores. If this is the amount of money that you have retired with, then you can live a fairly comfortable life up to the age of 85, assuming a monthly payout of 75,000 rupees. And this bakes in an inflation projection of 5% as well. So now this is what we are working with. A couple that has a corpus of 1.75 CR, looking at a life till 85, monthly payout of 75,000 rupees. So how should this in money be split up? Where should the investments go? First and foremost, according to Amit's calculations, it's a good idea for both the individuals, the husband and wife, to park 30 lakhs, that's 60 lakhs out of the 1.75 CR, into some of the government schemes which are available for senior citizens. So we're talking about the Senior Citizen Savings Scheme, which has a rate of return of 8.7%, and the LIC Vay Vandana Yojana, where the return is 8.3% if you are opting for an annual payout. These schemes do come in with a lock-in period, 5 years or 10 years as applicable, but because the rate of return is fairly significant and it's an absolutely safe and secure investment, Amit does recommend an investment here. So out of your 1.75 CR, 60 lakhs are going into these schemes. The next 40 lakhs are to be invested in debt funds. Now, these are funds which are, of course, market linked. So there is a degree of volatility, which is why you should not look at doing anything too adventurous here. The advice that Amit is going with is short-term funds or ultra-short-term funds and low-duration funds. And remember, this is not money that you're looking to pull out on a monthly or sort of a six-monthly basis. This is an investment which you should park in for at least 2 to 3 years. And over this time horizon, you will get, or you are expected to get, a fairly steady return, a return which really beats fixed deposits. And that's the charm of getting into these debt funds. Coming now to the balance amount. So out of 1.75 CR, we've invested 60 lakhs in the government schemes. We've invested 40 lakhs in debt funds. The remaining amount, 75 lakhs, is to be invested in equity. And within equity, of course, Amit recommends large cap funds. Looking at the risk profile, this is perhaps the best bet to be in. Number seven is the importance of ensuring that you have a will. Please write a will. Make sure that there is a clear game plan after you're gone. Where do the assets go? Whom do they go to? And speaking of assets, the recommendation is to have the bulk of your investment and the bulk of your savings in financial assets. Don't opt for too many physical assets like gold or real estate unless you can really manage them. If you do have real estate investments, which a lot of senior citizens would have, then make sure there's a clear plan of taking them forward or handing them down to the next generation. So again, the importance of will comes in over there. And for some reason, if you have real estate investments which you cannot manage, the property is too far away or it's not within sort of your manageable reach, then it is best to dispose it off and move that money to financial instruments. That is how you will ensure your financial security and safety. Some great advice and great tips over there. Thank you, Amit, very much for joining us on the show today. That's it on this week's podcast. You can catch the show at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesdays with repeats on Saturday and Sunday mornings only on CNBC TV 18. You can also find us on the CNBC TV 18 YouTube channel. Do send your feedback, comments, queries. Catch me on Twitter. My handle is at Surabhi Upadhyay. That's S-U-R-A-B-H-I-U-P-A-D-H-Y-A-Y. Don't forget to add the hashtag money. Catch you next week.